second time this happened. Okay. There's at least one of them working, and that's all I need. I do want to tell you, in the spirit of the morning, Woodall's baby has come, and it's 8 pounds, 2 ounces, and I heard a few gasps around the room. I do think it's important to tell you a story. And as with some stories, this one happens to be true. There were reasons why I was 1,000 miles away when my daughter was born, but I was on my way, and I got into the hospital about 3 a.m. They unlocked the doors and let me see my daughter, and then I went to sleep for a day or two. None of that is important. What is interesting is the next afternoon when I went back, here's Kathy and the little bassinet or the little tray, whatever you call them, right? And she was a sort of a normal-sized baby. And I looked, and in the little tray next to her was a baby that looked to be twice as big. And I looked a little closer, and it was, I think, 10 pounds, 7 ounces. And I noticed that in the tray next to that one, there was another baby that looked as big as that one, and it was about 10 pounds, 6 ounces. And I looked a little closer, and the same name, the same last name, was on both of them. And I then, this is a true story, I then noticed that there was this man standing to my right looking at these two infants with this huge grin on his face. And I said to him, are these babies yours? And he turned to me and he says, yes, they are. And I said, how's your wife? The grin never broke. He looked at me and he said, she nearly died. That's a true story. It's an absolutely true story. I wish I had kept the name. I'd love to know what was happening with those kids. But when I see that, I think of those two and think, it wasn't too bad. He is risen.
He is risen.
Today is Easter. And on Easter, you don't just do what you normally do. So I propose that we try something. And we'll see what happens. I want to walk with you through whatever records we can find in Scripture. And I want to just look at the reactions of people. And I want to just record them and see if we can see any kind of pattern that's here. All right. There is a very powerful purpose behind this. It says at one point that the guards came to the religious leaders and officials, told them what had happened, and then were bribed to tell a different story. And as recently as this week, time out, how are we going to do this? Let's see. Can you guys, Al, can you move back there with Brownie? Brownie in the back
there. Brownie was up here with me.
Brownie, can you come up here? Could you all move down when we got 3 people in the back who need a seat? Right now, if you all come around to this side, there's room for 3 right there. Right there. Just this way, just one time, okay? We got 3 places. Is that okay? Thank you guys for being flexible. Welcome to the front, Brownie.
Thank you.
That was really funny a moment ago. Okay, back to this. As recently as this year, people are still trying to make up some reason that you don't believe what the Bible record says. And so part of this is to ask, is what we see there the kind of thing we would see from eyewitness reports? Some of you are lawyers, some of you have worked in police or other kinds of activities that have to do with the law. And I know one of the things that you hear is if the stories match too well, there's a sort of suspicion that you come. Do you see the kind of variations that you might expect for this? And do you see something that, or do you see something that looks contrived? And then finally, are the reports that you read going to convince you? So that's the exercise I want to do, and I want to start in Matthew. And so in Matthew, if you would find Matthew 27.
And I'm absolutely fascinated
with what Travis Collins did this morning. Those of you who haven't been to worship yet, all I'm going to tell you is he started a little earlier than you usually do in the Bible record for a sermon text for Easter Sunday morning. He started a little bit earlier. And I had already planned to do this as well. If you take a look at Matthew 27, verse 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man of Arimathea called Joseph. And he goes on to talk about him asking for the body. You can start that early or even a little bit earlier. From the time Jesus died until the end of the gospel book, who are the people that you see? Now, he's already told you a little bit about some things right at the end of that section, around verse 61. So we're going to skip on down a little bit further. What did the religious leaders think? This is between verse 62 and verse 66. What did the religious leaders think? And as some of you are looking at that, some others of you, read from 1 to 8 in chapter 28 and tell me what the folks in that little story are doing. And some others of you, take a look at 9 and 10 in chapter 28. And we'll just sort of trust folks to move around a little bit. Who are some folks that you see in this record? And what was their reaction? Let's start with verse 62 to 66. The religious and governmental leaders. Okay. What's their reaction?
They recall that Jesus had said he's going to raise him in 3 days, and they were worried that the disciples were going to see his body, and so they wanted to put a guard up.
So
they couldn't do it.
Doesn't look like a very good one. This one's better. Nope. Anticipation that they might be proved wrong. And so they take steps to make sure that doesn't happen. Okay. Look at the sentence that Pilate says in verse 65.
Make it as secure as you know how.
You may have your guard. That means he's sending Roman soldiers, not Jewish temple guards. He's sending Roman soldiers. Go and make it all as secure as you know how. So they went and made the sepulcher secure, putting seals on the stones and mounting a guard. Going to take something to get past that. Chapter 28. Who are the people we see? Spice Girls. Sorry, if you haven't been to church yet, you still have a little treat to come, but if you look at your order of service for whichever service you're going to go to, if you look in your order of service, you're going to read Spice Girls as part of the title, so I'm not really giving much away. So let's just say that. Spice Girls. Did you see this week that somebody had discovered that Mary Magdalene's initials were appearing on small candy-coated chocolate cakes? Somebody thinks there's a conspiracy. I sort of like that. The sarcasm that's involved in that I thought was neat. But you did call them M&M. In one place, there's three. In one of the gospel records, there's a mention of a third person. And one time she's called Salome, and one time she's called the mother of another person. I don't know if there were two or three Marys in here. Okay. In that story, we hear about them. Do we hear about anybody else in this little section between verse 1 and verse 8 of chapter 20 here? Yeah, that's not somebody who's reacting. That's somebody who's causing the reaction, right?
The guards.
Yeah, the guards are. Right? These were the guards that the religious leaders put on to make sure nothing happened that would be able to be evidence that proved them wrong. What were the reactions? Pick one or the other. What were the reactions of those folks as the events began to fall out?
The guards fainted.
Okay. The guards, your says fainted.
Well, it became like dead men. That was
terrible. It became like dead men. Okay.
It says they were so frightened they couldn't move. Scared stiff.
Scared stiff. Paralyzed.
Frightened. So frightened. Then. Who were these guards again? And if Pilate's really doing what he's saying, does he send out the dregs of the forces? Probably not. He probably sends out hardened combat veterans. And some of you in the room are combat veterans. Sometimes after a while of that kind of stuff, it takes a lot to frighten you. Sometimes it takes a little, I suppose. But something happened that scared them. What was the reaction of the Spice Girls? What's his first statement to the women in verse 5? Don't be afraid. Can you make a conclusion as to what reaction they might have had? They might have been afraid.
I probably should have left some more room, because as we look at the other Gospels, we might fill in some more details here.
Okay. Now, what I want you to do
is I want you to look at the difference. I'm going to switch colors here for just a second. Because more than anything, I want you to watch the changes that happen. Look at verse 8.
Look at verse 8. What's the reaction of the Spice Girls now?
Filled with joy.
Mine has a second word. Does yours have a second word?
Fear.
Yeah, and that word fear is not the same one. I'm told that's a different word. My translation translates it awe.
Deep wonder.
Deep wonder. Okay? Do you understand the difference between fear on the one hand and awe on the other hand? Both have a sense of realizing there's something going on here that's bigger than me. You know. But not quite the same thing. Filled with joy and awe or deep wonder. Okay. I believe that that's the first place that there's been a change. Now, in the time that I paused there, I've realized that's wrong. That's not the first time that there's been a change. What's the other time there was a change? It's right here. What were the soldiers that felt? Confidence. We can handle anything. Right? So, confidence. And pride and all those kinds of things changes too. Here it's this. Right. Go up to verse 11 through 15.
And I'm not real worried about the details. We got the details already, right?
The guards come back, tell the chief priests and the Pharisees and others, the religious leaders, what has happened, and the religious leaders bribe them to say something else. Right? Okay. What do they bribe them to say? That's the part I want you to see. The disciples came during the night and stole him away. What's the last few words? While we were asleep. Okay? If you were a lawyer, do you see a little problem with that statement that you might take advantage of on cross-examination? If you were asleep, how do you know who came? I'm just wondering if you see that. And that's the best they could come up with. And these are Roman soldiers. What's the penalty for falling asleep on watch? Let me make sure everybody knows that. What's the penalty for falling asleep on watch? Death by execution immediately. Right? I'm not sure what the penalty is in the U.S. Army now. My suspicion is it isn't that, but my suspicion is it's very, very draconian. Because the one thing you don't do is fall asleep while you're on watch. You just don't do that. I have had very, very little experience with that. Very little experience with that. But I did pull guard duty all night at Fort Benning one night at a time when I was very sleepy. What do they do to keep you awake? They make you walk. They make you move. It's hard to sleep while you're moving. It's possible. It's possible. But it's difficult. It's a challenge. And should the governor hear of this, we undertake to put things right with him ourselves and see that you do not get into any trouble. Oh, yeah. That'll work. But the guards took the bribe.
They took a bribe that 24 hours before, they'd have probably killed somebody who tried to offer them a bribe. And that's another change. Okay?
Now, the remainder of this glosses over a lot of detail. Verse 16. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples set out for Galilee. What made them set out for Galilee? Well, that's all recorded in other Gospels. It's not recorded here. And there's a lot of interest in what happened in between. But take a look at verse 17.
What do you see about the disciples? Now, here's the point. We have a silent front end.
We have a silent front end. The disciples were so scared that at the crucifixion itself, most of them were not present. Who was present? The women plus just John. How could that be? Answer number one, I don't know. Answer number two, can you give some thought to what might have happened? A lot of people think John was a kid, that he was young, and maybe just young enough that he wouldn't be perceived as a threat or perceived as someone. Because remember, when Peter was there around the fire, aren't you one of them? Not really. Why is he saying that? There tends to be a sort of a funnel that pulls people in at moments like this. He's making sure he stands outside that funnel. So,
what does it say about the disciples? There's an unknown front end. And then it goes, or if you notice, it goes to two places. What's the first one? They accepted that Jesus was raised. And they worshiped him as God. Book of Matthew is silent on the front end, but I think it does give you this. What about the other reaction? So how do we do that? They tried, but they didn't make it. They tried, but they didn't make it. There were some who doubted.
The message says, some though held back. Not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally.
Yeah, mine just says hesitated. Just says hesitated.
Held back is another one. And I think, remember, that's a paraphrase. So yeah. Peterson is putting some words in there. So maybe the word is hesitated. How many worshiped?
Okay,
almost all is the implication. How many held back? Some. That's more than a few.
That's more than a few, but it's not many. John?
I have a note from some other record that says that the disciples were about what they could do, or if they could accomplish what they were commanded to do. And that's what they were talking about.
I think, like everything else, that's speculation. I don't know what made them hesitate. But it talks about some were worshiping. And the implication almost is that all of them were worshiping, but along with the worship was incomplete. Not insincere, but the worship was incomplete. Some, even then, weren't sure of all that was happening. Okay? Go to the Gospel of Mark. I will comment sort of in the spirit of what the pastor did this morning, or is going to do for those of you who haven't been yet. Take a look at verse 40 and 41. I'm sorry, Mark 15. Thank you. Mark 15. So my telepathy isn't working today, right? Mark 15. This is still at the time of the crucifixion. Mark 15, verse 40, there were some women watching from a distance. Among them were, and it names three specific ones, Salome is mentioned there, Mary, who was the mother of James the Younger, and Mary Magdala. And then it says, these used to follow him and look after him when he was in Galilee, and many other women were there who had come up to Jerusalem with him. One of the things we don't pick up on nearly as much in the Gospels as other things is the number of women who were Jesus' followers. When we talk about disciples, sometimes you can single out apostles, meaning the 12. But when you talk about Jesus' disciples, there were almost always women around. There's only a couple of places where you get clues to that. This is one of them. Back up a verse. Back up a verse. Who's the first person outside of the disciple core? Who's the first person who comes in not knowing the story, who expresses belief? Did you take a look at verse 39? What does he say? He sees the death and reaches a conclusion that very few people around there were reaching. There's an expression of belief. Centurion expresses belief. I suspect that centurion wasn't given the guard duty two nights later. Okay. Verse 47 in chapter 15 is an echo of what the pastor is working with this morning. The two Marys took note of where he was laid, this one says. Okay. Chapter 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdala, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, now this time in this account there's three, brought spices with which to go and anoint him. That's why they called him the Spice Girls. Okay. Come down to verse 5. What's the first word you hear for the Spice Girls again? You find a word in verse 5? On the other end of the turn, they saw a young man in a white robe sitting on the right-hand side, and the stone was rolled away. They'd already seen that. They were, mine says, struck with amazement. Yours says, alarm. I see a difference between those two words. Do you? Is there a third word to sort of help us referee this?
Astonished.
Astonished, amazed, filled with amazement, and alarmed. Okay. I don't know how to pick that out. Amazed, astonished, alarmed. I consider these two to be positive words. I consider this to be a negative word. Do you agree with that assignment?
Unless they thought his body was stolen or something, it's got to set up his own. I don't know.
Well, remember, there's a young man in a robe that they're reacting
right.
to.
Right, true.
A white robe, a glowing white robe, probably. There's no need to be so amazed, he says to them. What is yours used for that verb?
Alarm.
So yours repeats the same word again? Okay.
I think he's looking at it. They were pretty clear that
okay.
alarm of what had happened.
Can I give you some evidence that that might be right? Look down at verse 8. What's the word you see down there?
Trembling.
Yours says trembling.
Okay. Do you see a change here? Do you see a change? From these words
So this word. Is that the only term that you all have? Verse 8.
Bewildered.
Stunned.
This is based on what the angel has said. Mine says, frightened out of their wits. They ran away from the tomb, for they were frightened out of their wits. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So mine uses both of those phrases.
Heads were swimming.
Frightened out of their way. Afraid.
As in a lot of places, Mark sort of leaves you at that point. Because what follows from this isn't in all the ancient manuscripts. And what you read in there is more of a summary than an indication of moments when what the encounters were like. However, take a look at verse 9. Who was the first witness to the resurrection beyond the angels?
Mary Magdalene.
Right. What'd she do about it? Verse 10. She's also the first. She's the first observer, and she's the first witness. What's the difference? Observer says she sees it. Witness says she tells somebody else about it. Okay. Doesn't mention the others of the Spice Girls at that point. Just mentions that one. All right. Go to Luke, if you will. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 12 of Mark 16. Verse 12 of Mark 16. Actually, 12 and 13. This is very, very brief. Luke gives you a much longer account. What does it say? There were two others who were, mine says, on their way into the country. And if you're in Jerusalem, which way do you have to go into the country? Any way you wish. You just have to go out. Right? You got a big city. You can go north. You can go east. Whichever way you want to go. You can go north. You can go east. Sorry, I got it wrong. West. West. Okay. We're going to read more about those two later. What did they do after Jesus appeared to them? Went back and told them. What happened to the ones who heard? They didn't believe. What happened back in verse 11 when Mary Magdalene came in? They didn't believe. So what's hiding in here, it's a summary account, is that the Spice Girls, one of them, Mary Magdalene, saw and told what was not believed. And then the two on the way. We learned in Luke they were on the way to Emmaus, so you know that. They saw, they came back and told. They were not believed either.
They were not believed either.
Let's say
something that after Jesus appeared in a different form. What did that mean that he would have been?
Where's that?
Verse 12. And I have after Jesus appeared.
Mine says under another form, and I have no idea what that means.
Because the probably haven't recognized him, and maybe that was.
Well, we're not yet to the story in Luke, but when we get to the story in Luke, what you're going to find out, Jesus was with them, and they didn't recognize him.
Right.
When Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, that's also in another story.
Right.
What happened? She didn't recognize him, and then she did, right? I don't know what that means, but it seems to be implying something about that.
She recognized him by his voice.
Uh-huh. What about the two on the way to Emmaus? How did they recognize him? This is okay because it's going to speak to
the
He broke the bread. And the moment of breaking the bread, maybe they saw his hands. Maybe they remember the Lord's Supper. But, you know, how many people were in the upper room? We think it was 11 or 12 plus Jesus. Right? That's what we think. Maybe there were more people in the upper room than just those. We're sort of prejudiced by Thursday night and by Friday night and by the Sistine Chapel and all that. Right? And we don't know. But maybe they saw his hands. Maybe they saw the act of breaking bread and remembered the most recent time when bread had been broken by the Master. Okay? We don't know. What does Jesus say about the disciples in verse 14? My translation uses the word reproached. I think yours may say rebuked. What for? Mine has two words. They're unbelief and
hardness of heart.
Another word. I'm hearing somebody. Stubbornness. Mine says obstinacy. Stubbornness, I think, is the one that gets my vote out of that. It's nice and clear, very direct. Because they had refused to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. We're going to see it in just a moment. Who rises to the top of that group that gets rebuked? Thomas. Okay? You remember what Jesus said to Thomas? We're going to see this in a couple of minutes. You remember what Jesus said to Thomas after Thomas finally said, "Lord, I believe," because he wasn't there. This thing says he showed himself to the 11 while they were at table. The details in the story say, well, 10 of them were there. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas comes back. The 10 said, "The Lord's alive." Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe until I put my fingers in his hands, put my hand in his side." So a little bit later, Jesus comes and immediately says to Thomas, "Here's my hands. Here's my side. Put your fingers in. Put your hand in. Quit behaving like this. Start to believe."
But the other disciples at first, when they were told, didn't believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So when Thomas was told, this is his first time, mm-hmm. and he didn't believe. So
but here's what I'm coming to. What did Jesus say at that moment? Now, this is ahead. We haven't gotten there yet. If you want to get there, you can turn over to Luke. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's in John. "You have believed because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe, but have not seen." Or I think he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet believe." Who's he talking about? Talking about me. He's talking about you. Okay? You ready to go to Luke? Luke chapter 23, verse 47, repeats the story of the centurion. Verse 50 and so forth repeats the story of Joseph of Arimathea. Verse 55 repeats the story that you'll hear Travis Collins talk about a bit this morning. I'm in Luke chapter 23, verse 55. "Meanwhile, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus were following behind. They took note of the tomb and how the body had been laid." The picture that you get from the Gospels is that it isn't two. And it isn't three. It's a large group which includes these two or three. Okay. Verse 56, "The spice girls returned and prepared their spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath day they rested as the law requires. On the first day of the week at the first sign of dawn." I think one of the other translations says before it was yet light. Here they go. Okay. Verse 4 has a reaction.
So we're back to the Spice Girls again. Okay. Verse 4 has a word that describes their reaction.
Okay. Mine says puzzled. Yours says perplexed.
You can almost hear Luke adding to these words puzzled and perplexed. Or some word that's sort of standing close to those two.
"As they stood there puzzled about this, two men in brilliant clothes suddenly appeared at their sides." Chapter 5, in my translation, it's the first word. Gives you another reaction.
Terrified.
Frightened out of their wits, we already have from Mark. This says terrified in mind. Probably you're going to have some words like this one and like this one.
"Terrified, the women bowed their heads to the ground. Two men in brilliant clothes suddenly appeared. Terrified, the women bowed their heads." Why did they bow their heads? Too bright to look at. Besides, you don't know what's going to happen if you do look, because women weren't allowed to look. Remember the culture of that time? Heck, you know the culture of our time in certain parts of the world? "But the two said to them, but... The two said to them, why look among the dead for someone who is alive? He is not here. He is risen. remember what he told you when he was still in Galilee. Verse 8.
What's it say?
That's the chapter. Luke is the one that showed you all of this. I remember. They remembered his words.
How would they remember his words? They had heard him. When the Bible talks about Jesus talking to his disciples, it wasn't just men and it wasn't just 11 or 12. Verse 9, 10, and 11. They returned to the tomb and told all this to 11 and to all the others. Did you see that phrase in yours? They told all this to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary of Magdala, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. I'm not sure why the names keep sliding around a little bit. Maybe nicknames or something like that. I don't know. Maybe one was Greek. Maybe one was Aramaic. And they're just putting those names in. I don't know. But eyewitness accounts sort of do that. The other women with them also told the apostles. That suggests maybe it wasn't just one or two of them that went. There were one or two who were leading this group. But this story of theirs seemed...
My translation has the phrase there. This was the reaction of the disciples. Mine says pure nonsense. Is that another word there? This story seemed nonsense. If the story had been cooked up, what would the reaction have been? Immediate acceptance. It's time to start the ball rolling.
Pure nonsense. And they did not believe them.
Yeah, they heard Jesus say the same thing
to
them that
women have. The second word in verse 12 is interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Mine says Peter, however. Does yours have that little however?
Right.
Yours says, but Peter. Yeah, mine says Peter, however. Here's the reaction of all the men. This is ridiculous. And Peter says, yeah, it's ridiculous. So let me go see the evidence. And he goes. Now, in the book of John, what do you find out about that trip?
It was Peter and John.
It was Peter and John. If John was the kid, then the kid tagged along. Only the kid didn't tag along. Do you remember the story of John? He outran him, but when he got to the tomb, what happened? He waited and let Peter have some yards. Okay. So the kid outran Peter. You can hit these... Yeah, Hollywood does that every once in a while. We have a cop movie, and the young cop outruns the other. He pulls up to a fence. That would be me. Okay.
Could it have been that Peter
outran
him, and then he realized that he was feeling so much guilt that he would grasp at any straw and hope.
If this is true, maybe there's a window for me. If this is true, maybe there's a window for me.
Okay. Paralyzed with fear, all of a sudden running to tell. And now here's Peter, and verse 12 says he went back home amazed at what had happened. Starting at verse 13 is the story of the ones on the road. And this is familiar to some of you. If it's not, go read it again. But I want to take you to two places. Jesus says to them, what are you talking about? To these, he walks up with them. And they say, we're talking about all the things that have been happening in Jerusalem. Jesus says, what things? And they stopped and looked at him and said, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know about these things. And they start telling him about what had happened. And then they say, all of our hopes were dashed, but some women have come in to say that he's alive. And some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing. Verse 25, chapter 24 of Luke. Jesus said to them, you foolish men, so slow to believe all the prophets have said. Wasn't it necessary that the Messiah should suffer before entering into his glory? Verse 27, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout Scripture that were about themselves. I can't guarantee very much, because I don't know very much. But as strongly as I can say it, I do not believe this was the first time he had gone through these scriptures. I think this was once again, you know, wait a minute, we've been through all this, let's go through it one more time. Okay. Verse 32. They said to each other after he had departed, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and as he explained the scriptures to us? Now, a little bit later, after he's with his disciples, verse 44, he said to them, this is what I meant when I said while I was still with you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, that's the first, the last, and the middle of the Old Testament, was destined to be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. What does verse 48 say? You witnesses to all of this. Now, we're almost out of time. There's two or three other things I thought I might do, but I think I won't. Go to John chapter 20. We'll just do this one thing. We've talked about it before, but I want to make sure you know where this is. Verse 27 of chapter 20 of John. He spoke to Thomas, put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand. Put it here in my side. Do not be unbelieving anymore, but believe. And Thomas replied, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, you believe because you can see me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now, I want to show you the bookends to that sentence. I want to take you back to chapter 19. Verse 33. When the soldiers came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. So instead of breaking his legs, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. Now listen to this verse. This is the evidence of the one who saw it. True evidence. And he knows that what he says is true. And he gives it so that, what? You may believe as well. Turn to chapter 20, verse 30. There were many other signs that Jesus worked in the sight of the disciples, but they are not recorded in this book. Verse 31. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Today is Easter. He is risen. You all have a good day.